Small Town Podcast is made possible by generous support from the Georgia Municipal Association. GMA supports Georgia cities. Small Town Podcast is supported by Consolidated Pipe and Supply Company. Consolidated Pipe is a full-line supplier of products for the water, wastewater, and natural gas industries, and they serve utilities and public works departments in cities, large and small, every day. They're the exclusive distributor of Master Meter AMI-AMR technology. As a family-owned company with a legacy that began in 1960, let Consolidated Pipe show you that they are dedicated to service. Small Town Podcast is sponsored by Koch Industries. Just like the great small towns we feature on Small Town Podcast, every great company has a story. From its humble beginnings starting out in Middle America in the 1960s, Koch Industries has become one of the largest privately held companies in the nation and has achieved an international presence in 50 countries around the globe. The companies of Koch Industries create innovations in transportation, medical care, water filtration, building materials, household goods, and so many other products and technologies that impact our lives every day. You can see more of the Koch story, both where they've come from and where they're going, by visiting kochind.com/podcast.
I hereby call this episode to order.
Hey, small towners, it's Mayor Matt Seal, and thanks for joining me for another episode of Small Town Podcast. Now, this episode is going to be a little different as I become the interviewee when I sit down with Amy Henderson, the Director of Communications and Marketing at the Georgia Municipal Association. I've mentioned Amy before. She is a big part of the start and success of Small Town Podcast. So when she suggested interviewing me for an episode, I couldn't say no. So for this episode, I did not travel to a small town. We're going to Amy's office at Georgia Municipal Association headquarters in Atlanta, Georgia. Come go with me.
Growing up in coastal Georgia, I only thought I lived in a small town. As soon as I graduated high school, I moved to the big city of Atlanta for college and to start my life. My life is a journey, and I ended up Osceola, Georgia. Population 3,400. We've got two traffic lights here. We're not looking to get a third anytime soon. Some years later, the people of Osceola made me their mayor. Man, I love living in a small town. Other folks do too. This is the Small Town Podcast, and I'm your host, Mayor Matt Seal of the great city of Osceola, Georgia.
Hello, small towners. I'm Amy Henderson with the Georgia Municipal Association, and I get the privilege of turning the tables on Mayor Matt today. So, Mayor, as you like to say to your guests, Mayor, welcome to GMA.
Okay. Thanks, Amy.
Yeah, and thanks for letting me hijack your podcast. I think this is going to be my new thing. I'm just going to go around hijacking my favorite podcasts and just jump on in.
Glad I could be your first one.
Yes, you might
test drive.
If I drive this off the rails, I don't think I'm going to go very far with this. But I want to talk to you about your Small Town Podcast, which we are currently on and I'm a huge fan of. Last year was the first year.
Yeah.
Tell me about, I think, some of the things that you learned, either about the process or about cities. You know, what was the experience like for you?
Oh, man. I guess to give a little backstory to anyone that doesn't know, I've referenced this several times, but the reason I even thought this would be a good idea is because podcasts are big. Everybody knows that.
Right. You
know, there's literally thousands, tens of thousands mm-hmm. of, maybe even hundreds of thousands of different podcasts. But there was one in particular that got really big called Up and Vanished, that the first season of it It's gone on to do a second season and will probably do more. They've mm-hmm. started getting into TV shows.
Yeah.
But the first one was focused on my little town of Osceola, Georgia. It was about a disappearance of Tara Grinstead, who was a school teacher at the Irwin County High School,
right.
Former beauty queen.
Mm-hmm.
And she just, as the podcast title suggests, she up and vanished. And there was no sign of her. And that
right.
happened in 2005. And over a decade later, the case was still open, unsolved. Some people consider it a cold case. I've always said, and I always feel the need to make sure I say, the law enforcement in Osceola and Irwin County never considered a cold case, followed up on every lead, just really, really bothered them
right.
that there was no closure at the time. And so a guy named Payne Lindsay comes down and starts this podcast. And
people start talking.
Yeah, yeah. And I met him when I heard it was just starting up before it got huge.
Mm-hmm.
He had made fast friends with a man named Dusty Vassy, who was our local reporter at the Osceola Star. And Dusty and I were good friends.
Mm-hmm.
And so he introduced me one time, and I'd heard about what he was doing. And I pretty much just said, I'm fine with what you're doing. If there's anything I can help, if this publicity helps solve the case and bring closure to a family, I'm all for it.
Right.
But I did say, please consider the fact that you are introducing, at that point it was smaller. It was never
right.
small, I don't think. But at that point it was probably just in the tens of thousands, and now he does, easily over a million,
right.
million and a half downloads per episode. And there are people all over the country, all over the world that were being introduced to Osceola, Georgia, but they only knew about this one thing. And so the whole town.
And that is not Osceola.
Exactly. Well, it's no town.
Right.
And that's when it just reconfirmed for me what we already know. We've talked about many times, you and I before. A small town gets attention primarily and sometimes solely when something negative happens.
Right.
There's a crime, in this case one that went unsolved. It was the largest case file in Georgia Bureau of Investigation history, so it had that notoriety. That's not something you want to be known for. It happens when there's some kind of corruption, a town, whether it's a government or otherwise, going
right.
through some financial issues, maybe because of incompetence or corruption, all those things. And that's when the media cameras fly out.
Mm-hmm.
They want to sit on the courthouse steps or in the front of City Hall or the county commission office and talk about the dysfunction between the city and the county. And all
mm-hmm.
those things get all this play. And I said, man, why can't we just talk about the good parts? And big cities kind of get a lot of flashy when the good parts
right.
and celebrities are here and this activity, this event.
Right. Are you saying there's no celebrities in Osceola?
Yeah.
There's you.
as I say, when people say, hey, how are you the mayor when you weren't even from there? I said, well, you scraped the bottom of the barrel in Osceola and I'm what came up. But that was kind of what was behind it. So,
right.
So I felt like I needed some background to even answer the question.
And
so,
I will say too.
Yeah.
I had been contemplating, because I'm a big fan of podcasts, and I had been saying, gosh, I wish GMA could do a podcast.
Well, we should probably.
We don't have the resources. And then
right.
you called and you said, Amy, I'm thinking about doing a podcast. And I said, yes.
Well,
yes, you are.
And the story behind that is I was thinking through this. I'd been a mayor for a little over a year when all this was happening and my town's getting all this publicity. And I thought, my first thought was, hey, I should do a podcast just about Osceola.
Mm-hmm.
We might not have enough material to have a regular thing that would really capture everyone's interest. Some people have joked that we could have a reality show
right.
on there, but I want to be careful about that too. But that's when I thought, well, hey, I'm not the only town that's going through this.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just the one that I'm thinking of right now, because this was big because of that case. But other towns go through this. Other towns get overlooked. Let me just do something about small towns, and I'll profile different ones. And that's when I kind of started generating the idea. Well, I was just thinking of it as this little side project. And so Michael McPherson, our district
right.
rep, who comes down regularly for the quarterly mm-hmm. meetings. Of course, we see him at our district meetings, even at convention and Mayor's Day. I just made mention to him one time when I saw him, just casually, hey, I'm thinking about doing this thing. I think it'll just be this little side project. But if GMA could use it as a way to get information out, or if you think there's any value to it, I would be glad to, take information and put it on there. I haven't figured out all the details and all the technicals yet, but just let you know. And he looked at me, and I didn't know what this look meant at the time, because he apparently knew that you
right.
had this desire. He said, oh, you need to talk to Amy Henderson. And I had met you, but we did not know
right.
each other well. I'd seen you at convention, of course, and whenever all of GMA gets together. So I said, okay, well, I don't have her number. So he made sure I had your office line, and yes, I was. I don't think I was in a hurry. I just remember calling, and he had obviously already given you the heads up
that I was so thinking. Excited. So, it was like Christmas for me. Yes, I finally get what I want. No. To go back to the original question, you and I talked a lot at the beginning of what this was going to be. So what did you learn about everything?
I got to and still get to, because it's still going, get to kind of sit at the feet of people who have gone before me, are still there in the trenches. Mm-hmm. You know, my first interview was Lace Futch. So he is not a mayor, but he's still involved in local government as the chairman of his county commission. There's a former mayor that I'll be interviewing for season two. So it's somebody that's kind of gone before, but there's this vast experience, just this wealth of experience that I get to go get. So I get to learn personally from that. And I hope some of that's coming out in the episode, so that people who are kind of new at this or maybe thinking about it, but intimidated by it. Cause I, you know, when people first asked me about being mayor of Osceola, I just said no. There's no desire. And so I know that there's a need for people stepping out. And the idea that you're supposed to be prepared the day you take the oath of office and start.
Does not happen.
So if that ends up helping in kind of a training or mentoring aspect, mm-hmm. even though it's an audio and you're listening to a file, you're not standing there in front of the person, if it offers something, if it offers some insight, I hope that's beyond just what I'm learning. It's for other people too. But man, I'm just getting to learn about what other towns are doing now,
right.
What they have done. This is both encouraging and frustrating, but there are towns the same size as Osceola, slightly larger, slightly smaller sometimes, that are doing some incredible things with their downtowns. Mm. And I go look at it and I go, oh my gosh, how did you guys, because it looks so easy now. And then you find out, oh, this story begins 20 years ago.
Yes.
Yeah. And it was from somebody stepping out and starting. And maybe it was a Main Street program, Downtown Development Authority. Maybe it was a specific historic preservation, a rehabilitation of a specific building that was the catalyst for all these things. But you can't just have the catalyst. You have to follow up. And here's the things mm-hmm. we did. Sometimes it's a specific project. I've come to learn about so many of those that I haven't been able to profile yet. That's why it's so exciting. I mean, the amount of stories that there are in small towns, some just plain funny, some some just very inspirational, mm-hmm. Some kind of a resurgence, towns that thought they were going to go away. There's a town, I'm going to leave the names out so we can, you know, tease a little
tease
bit.
For but this but there's season one, two, yeah, starting yeah, very, yeah.
There's one in particular I'm working with that was on the brink of losing their city charter. I mean, that's their very existence was in question at one point, and it's far from that now. So this is just some incredible stories. And if you just say, oh, it's a city, this is a government structure. But it's this community. It's this group of people that's behind the name. When you say Osceola, you're not just talking about the charter.
Right.
You're talking about the people that live there, the people that make up the downtown and the residents and the people that do Little League and, you know, all those things. And so it's just inspirational. And I think it's some of the stuff that we may tend to take for granted.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm just making sure I'm pointing out to everybody. And some people are going to listen to that and go, oh, yeah, yeah, I know that. That's just mine. But some people, I think it'll help them realize, oh, that's really neat that happened in this town. We've got some similarities to that. Or, hey, if these guys did it, they're not so much bigger. They're not so much more well-resourced.
They're not so different than we couldn't also.
So I hope it does provide some kind of inspiration, because I've been inspired by the individuals I've gotten to talk mm-hmm. to and the organizations that are involved in some of these communities and the stories of, you know, struggle.
Yeah.
But overcoming that struggle. And a lot of them are still in the process of overcoming, because some of these struggles is not something you just defeat and now we're done.
No.
It's something that's just a constant
battle. It's been generations
battle.
And decades.
Yeah. And it will continue. And as long as there's people willing to stand in the gap, and that's the importance of the leadership needed. And hopefully I'm encouraging some people to get in there.
Cause, right. And because the people who are listening aren't just city leaders,
no.
city officials. A lot of them are people who are just, they're being, through your podcast, being introduced to some of these gems that Georgia has, these
yeah.
wonderful small towns. And,
yeah.
you know, and, you know, 75% of the 538 cities in Georgia are small towns.
Right, right.
So you've got a lot of ground to cover,
yeah.
FYI.
Yeah, I do.
But but so much of the population, the state's population, is kind of more in this metro area
sure.
of Atlanta that they may not be familiar
right.
with all these wonderful little towns mm-hmm. all throughout Georgia. And so you're kind of introducing people to those.
Right.
What are some of the things that you, I mean, there's, every town is different because the people are different.
Yes.
And that makes, I mean, that's the seasoning of every town is the people. They give it the flavor and the spice. What are some of the things that you feel like, you know, have you been doing this and talking with these other small town leaders? What are some things you think you have in common?
You know, it's interesting because the most common answer, because I do have kind of a standard set of questions, and then we veer from there in my mm-hmm. conversations with a local official. And when I ask the question, you know, what is it you think sets your town apart? What makes you unique? The most common answer is the people.
Right.
Which, on the one hand, you think, well, everybody says that. That means it's not unique. It's different. You know, it's our people.
But each individual is unique.
Right. Yeah. We're all snowflakes. But then when I think more about that and listen, and then I'd have the advantage. This is something that I haven't been able to, you know, it's hard to capture this for the listener, because I will, you know, come to somebody's city hall or municipal mm-hmm. building or wherever I'm doing this interview, and I try to get somewhere early, and I will walk around, sometimes taking my pictures. I'm going to do
flavor of the place.
Yeah, kind of. Especially if it's a place I haven't visited or haven't been in a while, because there were some cities, some small towns that I'd been to several times. I was very familiar with the person I was interviewing. We'd known each other for a while, whether it was GMA or in a couple cases long before GMA, as mm-hmm. in Clementine, Washington, who was my funny. Former assistant principal when I went down to Midway to do that interview.
It's a small world.
Yeah,
small
exactly, exactly. That was pretty cool. But then when I got farther into the season and now going into season two, it's going to be more and more cities that I've heard of mm-hmm. and I've generally met, but I did episodes where I met the person I was interviewing face to face for the first time when I'm pulling out microphones and setting this thing up.
Which is not intimidating at all, by the way.
No, not necessarily. It wasn't. It was just different. And I tried to kind of convey that. If you go back and listen, because I was kind of listening, realizing the difference, I'm different. Mm-hmm. When I'm talking to somebody that I'm more familiar with, because we can share a story, how we met.
Right.
You know, I joked with James Eubanks, the mayor of Pelham, on one of the earlier episodes. You know, I tell the story of how we met and how neither of us wanted to be mayor. And so you got two reluctant small town mayors, you know, that kind of thing. But then Glenn Wright from Greensboro, I talked him on the phone to coordinate, mm-hmm. and it was maybe a 5-minute conversation. So when I got to Greensboro, and I actually was in the council room setting up microphones, and then he walked in, and that was the first time we'd ever met face to face. And so I'm asking questions, and I really don't know the answers. And I tried to be genuine about that, let people know, hey, I've never met right. this person before, or this person and I go back a few years or even farther back. In those episodes, I am getting to know that person at the same time as the audience. So that was just kind of a neat difference.
Right.
And I didn't try to hide that. I didn't try to treat my interview the same, even though they were clearly different. But kind of going back to that, that ties back into your question about the people, the flavor. If I get to a place early, I get a feel for it. The commonality is a lot of characteristics of small towners, as I like to call them, are very similar. There, if you are there and they know you don't quite fit in, you don't right. belong, you're not from
we
around there.
We haven't seen you
yes,
here before.
There is a curiosity mm-hmm. that needs to be satisfied, but will be done in a very respectful and friendly and welcoming manner. When sometimes I say, well, I'm a mayor from another small town, Osceola, and they've heard of it, they haven't. And then I'm doing a podcast, I'm interviewing your mayor or your, you know, council right. member or whatever. Oh, that's great. And then they love it that their town is about to get some kind of publicity. They want to share it.
Because they're so proud of their hometowns.
Absolutely. That pride is just, and I think that's a very unique thing to small towns in general, mm-hmm. how that pride is shown. What their festival that's gone on for 60 plus years
so
is.
So many awesome festivals in Georgia.
And that makes the differences. There's just a couple things that, whether it's one particular civic organization tends to almost trump the others. Mm-hmm. I've noticed that.
Okay.
You know, and sometimes it's the Rotary Club. Sometimes it's the Lions Club.
They're the power
sometimes
brokers
it's the
in town.
Well, maybe.
I always thought it was the Episcopalian church.
And sometimes the churches do the same kind of thing. Which one's the dominant church right. in town? Things like that. That kind of makes the difference slightly in the small, that particular small town's culture, I've mm-hmm. noticed. But overall, I think there's more alike than different. And I think almost like a small town football rivalries. Oh. There's a rivalry there that usually lasts one Friday night a year, and then mm-hmm. and then after that there's camaraderie, and so you kind of find that. And the difference is what colors the uniforms are, what the mascots are, and what the cheers may right. be, or some little thing they do at the game. But then at the end of that, you've got a bunch of people from small towns that have similar values, and the culture is a little bit different mm-hmm. based on something that happened 60 years ago right. and what they decided their fight song to be and things like that. So I don't know if that's a way to kind of describe that.
I have to share
that,
my coming to a small town story. When I graduated, well, I was actually still in college. I did my internship with the Bainbridge Post Searchlight mm-hmm. down in Bainbridge.
I remember you telling me you're in Bainbridge.
Yes.
Yeah.
And my first week there, you know, I had opened up a checking account at the local bank, and I had the bank issued checks, so they don't have
right.
You know, they
you
don't have personal information on it or anything. And I was at the grocery store, and this lady behind me noticed my checks, and was immediately like, "Well, welcome to Bainbridge. Well, you know, what's your name? Where are you working? I've got a daughter."
That's funny. She was looking over your shoulder.
Oh, and then
identified by your checkbook that you were new.
I was new. She quickly picked up on that. Got my name, where I'm working.
Yep.
She had a daughter my age. They were having a party that weekend. I should come. And in my head, all I'm thinking is, oh my gosh, it's a cult. But then I quickly realized everybody who was so welcoming, they were sincere in their welcome.
Yeah.
I was not being recruited for a cult.
Well,
a cult of kindness.
It's funny you should say that. I could see the similarities from an analytical perspective between a cult and small town society. Because that's part of it is curiosity. They want to hear your story.
Right.
And there's a protective nature about
absolutely.
That for sure. We want to make sure, hey, there's only so many of us. One person with the wrong motives and don't fit in could really makes a bigger impact. Mm-hmm. And so the small town culture is more sensitive to that than anybody in a big city even has to be.
Right.
You know, you move to a big city, you might not even get noticed.
Right.
And that's a big difference.
I moved to Atlanta later, and you know, it was, you know,
nobody looked
total,
over your shoulder, saw
anonymity.
The checkbook, and didn't
right.
do anything about it.
then we moved to Dahlonega, another small town.
Yep.
And I saw, you know, I still kind of had that Atlanta mentality. Saw the same guy 3 days in a row and was like, wait, is he stalking?
Yeah.
It's like, oh no, wait, small town.
Right,
reset,
right.
Brain reset.
Different
expectations.
Yeah.
I'm going to see the same people all the time.
That's right. There's only
awesome.
So many of them to see. So you better get to know them, and hopefully you like them.
So how is season two going to be different than season one? What are some of the things we can look forward
to? Probably the biggest change is going to be kind of I'm changing up some formatting things. I've talked to you with you about this many times. This was supposed to just be kind of a side project, and it is. I've still got obviously other things and other responsibilities, and try. It's just a big balancing act. And I added this one thing on, but didn't take anything else off. So trying to get
so
that
things
in.
May be a little out of balance.
I'm trying to get them balanced. I'm trying to make some better structural changes
there.
In life for multiple reasons. But the thing I think that threw me off is I had so many towns I wanted to go visit. And the list grows because as people found out about this, well, GMA was nice enough to do a promo now 2 years in a row.
Mm-hmm.
And so the first time there was a commercial, I had people come out in the hall and find me and say, hey, I want you to come to my town.
Mm-hmm.
I had people, find me on, LinkedIn or whatever social media network and, hey, how does this work?
Right.
We want you to come. We, this looks good, and we want publicity. Because people
we
got
want
that,
you to come talk about product. Our town. Right.
So finding the towns that were willing to have someone sit down and talk with me or be profiled, never an issue. What I ended up doing more of than I intended to, because this was kind of a work in progress. It's still kind of evolving. Were the issues
mm-hmm.
that I ended up kind of going into
the infrastructure episodes.
Yeah. Well, things that affect. small towns, right. Some of the rural issues we're dealing with. And of course, during season one, it was an election year. So I just all of a sudden kind of found myself with this opportunity. All of these candidates are about to get asked questions about Metro Atlanta traffic and the airport and high speed rail. And right. I know those are all transportation things.
I would like low speed rail.
Right, yeah, exactly. and we talk about rural Georgia. Mm-hmm. And they got to ask questions. I'm not trying to say I'm the right. only one that you know even bothered to do that, but I wanted to only ask them questions that pertain to. And that's another thing that kind of happened too. When I started out, a small town for me was defined just by population, and it still in many ways is. Mm-hmm. I still want to go to a place like our first episode of season two, Auburn, Georgia. Mayor Linda Blackinger, who's the current GMA president. Right. Great small town, has a small town feel, the main street with the old buildings, the mm-hmm. row of them, the railroad tracks the coming through, the whistle stop shops. Great small town feel, but that is a very different small town because it's in Gwinnett County, which is obviously in Metro Atlanta. That's very different, and the issues that they will handle and struggle with and figure out will be very different than Osceola mm-hmm. or Pelham. Greensboro, you know, some of the other ones I mentioned. Right. And so I kind of found myself dealing a little more with rural small towns and the issues. That's where I kind of had to make a dividing line there. So I'm still trying to kind of balance that out because a small town is a small town by population, but there's a difference in a small town in a metro area. You're more like a neighborhood or a community right. within this you know, bigger thing.
And I think people
thing.
don't realize really that there's a lot of small towns.
Oh yeah.
In the Metro Atlanta area.
Sure.
You know, everybody talks about Atlanta and it's
right. There's a lot of
Atlanta, but mm-hmm. there's also a lot of smaller cities, communities around that share those same problems, but not sure. the same resources.
Sure. And I ended up kind of getting drawn a little more into the rural, right. partly because, you know, I was doing this primarily to benefit my small town.
Right.
And Osceola is not in the metropolitan anything
like, I need to
yeah.
talk to people like
I'm in the Tifton metropolitan
the
area.
Tifton metropolitan. I like it.
So that was kind of a shift. And so I found myself doing more topics. I'm going to try to make sure I'm profiling plenty of small towns because that is the point. Although I still will have some extra episodes. I'll tell you this as a kind of on that same line. The object of the game at the beginning was to do an episode on a small town every other Monday.
Right.
And then I was going to insert bonus episodes in between those just, you know, randomly, maybe not every time. Well, man, that was an epic fail in season one because I do a bonus episode and then turn around and go, oh man, I'm supposed to have another regular episode next Monday. And, you know, I'm the host, right. but I'm also the producer. I've got Resonate Recordings does my editing and mm-hmm. my production mix and mastering. They do an incredible job. I could never have done this the way I've been able to.
And they
did
quality. Your cover art and everything. That's really nice.
I couldn't have gotten things going in season one without Resonate. So, and they did not pay me to say that, but I'm glad to give them a plug. So if you are looking to do a podcast, you should call Resonate Recordings. I'm still having to listen to everything and give them the editing notes because mm-hmm. they're not going to let me just send them raw audio and put something together for me that sounds good.
I'm the creative director on that. Use this part.
And again, going back to the balancing this out with all the other things that were already on my plate, chiefly running a city, but also having to run a business because it turns out this small town mayor gig, not a full-time paying job, but sometimes full-time by hours.
you're still working full-time.
Yeah. and that's a thing. But I feel like that what I'm trying to do is still worth doing and small towns, not just mine, are mm-hmm. worth promoting. And so I feel like it's enough there that I will still struggle to find that balance so that I can accomplish that while still trying to take Osceola forward. I will fall flat on my face more than once and I will just try my best to get up and go again. But that's kind of the thing.
Let's run the bloopers reel right now. take us behind the scenes.
I was going to say, if there was actually a bloopers reel to insert, I would have had to go and do the editing notes for that. And so I'll leave myself out of it. I mean, I think I've told you some of these stories about, I guess the funniest thing is I got to talk to some some high ranking people for sure.
Some very very important people.
Yeah.
Or as we like to say in Georgia, very important folk.
Folk. That's right. Because you know, during the campaign, I mean, I set out to interview every single candidate who would qualify to run for governor, lieutenant governor. And I'll even tell you the backstory on that, because people say, you know, there's some people that you know we're not really going to poll enough to be even contenders for a runoff, that kind of thing. And here's my thought with that. If I'm going to run a podcast that is dedicated to shining the light on small towns that are constantly overshadowed and only get negative play but not given an opportunity to tell a whole story, I would be, you know,
hypocritical to not offer
the microphone to everybody the same. Mm-hmm. And so I set out, and I did. I interviewed. There was one candidate that I had to interview over the phone, and one candidate, Stacey Abrams,
right.
I was not able to actually interview her before the primary, but was able just after the primary. And that was no fault of her own. That was just some scheduling stuff. I mean, those campaigns run a lot, and I understand my place in the pecking order. Hey, I'm a small town podcast, and they've got, you know,
so
WSB
and the Atlanta Journal Constitution. You fell somewhere right behind Samantha Bee in interviewing
somewhere behind, yes. How far behind is a matter of
how far down that list?
Yeah. So face to face interviews, with that one exception, with everybody. But what was funny is This equipment, I've got pictures of it up on places. So it's
substantial.
Yeah, I've got the boom mics, and
I'm not
pop
talking
filters
into your cell
trying
phone.
To. Nope, nope. We're not using a tape recorder. For those of you who don't know what that is, go look it up. So there were this, but I've joked with people before, this pop filter that keeps the sound from, you know, especially when you say words that start with P, and Amy and I have one in front of the microphones we're talking into now. They kind of clamp on the back and then they wrap around, and that's supposed to improve sound quality, and it does a great job. So we were able to get some reasonably good microphone and recording equipment, and it doesn't cause me any trouble. I love it. But the pop filter that I think costs $12 is the thing that's given me the most trouble. So so Casey Cagle, who was the sitting lieutenant governor running for governor, and one of the interviews I did with him, you know, he was coming in. He came in the conference room. I thought we were ready to go. And then this pop filter just kind of like flops down. And so here I am doing this. And finally, I think he feels so bad for me. He stands up and tries to help me, you know, get the clamp going. And I'm like, it was, you know, kind of embarrassing. But I ended up, I think part of that interview, at least, I had to just put my hand on the side and kind of hold it up in front of the microphone. Gosh. Now, luckily, it was mine, not his. And I would rather me have to do that than him. So
it's like, I'm going to interview you and you're going to work at it.
Exactly. I don't think it's detectable in the sound quality, but the pop filter was not stationary. It was kind of shaking in my hand as I'm interviewing the sitting lieutenant governor, running for governor at the time. Similar thing happened. I interviewed Gary Black,
the agriculture commissioner,
and was talking to him. It was the infrastructure episode, and then we ended up talking so much that there was some really great stuff to talk about. So I made another episode, and I got to interview one of the folks from my town, Gary Polk, about muscadines and some of the great things in agribusiness and how that, you know, helps a small town, right. That kind of thing. But in the interview, that same thing happened. So Gary Black, same kind of thing. He actually got a rubber band, and we actually kind of rigged it up, so I didn't have to hold it that time. But I've since gotten a couple new pop filters, and hopefully that won't happen again.
I love that he could engineer that for you.
It was great. It was great. And both those gentlemen didn't roll their eyes. They didn't seem annoyed. They were being great sports with me sitting there. You know, their time's pretty valuable in those roles. So the idea that I'm sitting here taking an extra 5 minutes trying to put together you're like, God, can't be happening. The only other one, it was actually with James Eubanks, who I've already mentioned, mayor of Pelham. It was one of my earlier episodes. I think I'd recorded about three and then didn't necessarily do them in order. So he's the second person that comes across in an episode. But I used to not wear, and I'll say this since you don't have a visual, those of you listening, I'm wearing my headphones right now while Amy's interviewing me, because I'm going to constantly check the levels on the recording and everything. I'm my own sound engineer on this. But the reason I wear the headphones is because when I was interviewing James, I looked over to make sure the levels were still going the right way, and the screen on my recorder was completely blank. And we were about 10, maybe 12 minutes into the interview, and I look and the batteries had died.
Gosh.
And it didn't even cut. I didn't, you know, if I had my headphones on, I would have noticed when the sound cut off. I have no idea at what point it did, because if it does that, it doesn't capture the track the way that does it. So James was a great sport on that one, because
like,
I had to say, hey, I'm going to change the batteries, and can we just, that was a great conversation.
can we do it all over again?
So that was early on, and now that's why I've told you I have this battery pack that plugs in. It's the power source, and the batteries in the recorder are the backup batteries. So far, that's never happened again.
It's like
but
a
then
plan
I also
B to a plan
yep,
B.
Yep. And I keep the headphones on just because, you know, sometimes if you shift in your seat, or if the person I'm interviewing shifts in their seat, and then the sound changes,
they move too far away.
Yep. So there's all that. I've had that happen once, twice, but with the headphones on. So there was definitely a learning curve, because I had, in fact, I had a couple of the candidates. When I was interviewing them, they'd ask, so were you in radio? Did you do something like this maybe in college or just – and I – nope.
Nope. Nope. Just started this year.
And luckily, so Payne Lindsay and Donald Albright was his producer from Up and Vanish. They were very generous with their time and recommendations about equipment, plugging me in with someone to do the hosting with Resonate Recordings who still works with them. So I got kind of a leg up.
You had a push. Yeah, you had that help.
I got quite a boost on some of the technical expertise by talking to people who had done it and who had gone through that steep learning curve. But anytime you're dealing with something new and sound levels, and I'll try this and try that, and I think formatting the SD card. I think luckily I was just doing some regular stuff just myself, my pre-recording stuff, and I got a new SD card and threw it in there, and I was like, why isn't this playing back? And then I'd forgotten to format the thing.
Yeah.
So I've been fortunate that most of my bloopers, as you said, have been minor. I can laugh about them now.
Right.
The folks that they happened with were good sports.
And no GPS fails on the way to any of these small towns. Because what some people may not realize, and I've been so lucky to work for GMA now for 20 years and get to go out and visit a lot of these cities. There's areas of the state. It's going into, like, you're going into the Bermuda Triangle. There is no GPS signal.
And
I have a paper map, and I actually introduced a paper map to two millennials who work here. They were so excited. They're like, wait, what? What is this? Wait, you can look at it and see the whole state all at once?
Right. You don't have to pinch and zoom out.
Where can I get one of these?
Yeah. Yeah.
So any experiences in the logistics of, going around Georgia?
Not really. I mean, there's a variety of ways. I think the funniest thing with regard to directions is I would generally know where I was going. And if you think about it, and I've just seen this reinforced in some of these travels, most cities, small towns or otherwise, are the crossroads of two Georgia, if not U.S., highways. And so you've got some kind of main route or even, kind of secondary route that's a Georgia highway or a U.S. highway that will take you right into downtown. And that's kind of where kind of cities emerge. Hey, there's this highway. They either built the highway to go through these specific cities or connect these two cities, or the city grew or even emerged because it was already along the highway. So that part's easy.
One of my favorite things is I think most cities have this, or at least most small cities have, where there's a road that is the name of the road that the name of the city that you're in, and the name of the next city you would hit if you stay on that road. So I was like, I was in Sylvester last week, and it's like Sylvester Ashburn Road. It's like, oh, this is how I get to Ashburn from Sylvester.
That's
I stay
helpful.
On this road.
And then like for Osceola and Fitzgerald, which is just the next city north along US 129. And also US 319. So if you're going, there's Osceola Highway if you're coming from Fitzgerald, and it's Fitzgerald Highway if you're coming from Osceola. So, and it doesn't say that on the sign. That's just the way people say it. So everything's kind of a highway. I think the funniest thing, or the only kind of interesting thing, is I can look at the map. I would, see the travel distance and plan my trip. And I'd usually try to make sure I was there early so I could do what I said before, just kind of walk around, maybe even get pictures. I do a city hall selfie and sometimes do that in advance of whatever my appointed time. The funniest thing to me, and this happened on a couple of occasions, when I'm talking to whoever I'm going to interview or whoever's coordinating the interview, they would say, now you can look this up on your phone, but And then they would give you directions. And so I'd go ahead and write those just in case, because I was real concerned about that. What if the GPS is
going to, what if something happens?
Google knows a lot, but Google doesn't know everything. And the more rural you get, the less it seems to be familiar.
The less Google knows.
Exactly.
They don't know where Tommy used to live.
That's
right. Because most directions in rural towns are like, you know, you go where Tommy used to live and you take a right.
You know where that Western Auto used to be?
Right.
No? Okay, well, you turn left
that
there.
That needs to be the next level Google Maps. layers of what used to be.
Yeah. So I'd write down those directions if someone gave them to me and then kind of have fun comparing. And usually it was pretty much the exact same thing. But there were a couple, I'm trying to think of which town it might have been, but there were a couple where the shortcut and Google Maps would try to take me down the shortcut, and I'd go and I'd be nervous, but I got there every time. So I didn't have any trouble. Didn't have to pull over at somebody's farm and ask for directions to town or anything like that.
My favorite directions are always when they begin with, "Will you go to such and such dirt road?" I did a story years ago about Edge Hill. Which is the smallest incorporated city of Georgia, population 24 at the last census. And I was literally one town away, and I could not find Edge Hill. And I asked – I pulled over and I asked somebody, and their first reaction was South Carolina. And I was like, no, Georgia. It's around here somewhere.
Right. They didn't even know it was so small.
But then I found somebody who's – and their directions were, well, you go down to that dirt road down there. It's like, okay, I'm good. These are my people. We're talking dirt roads.
And that's – I mean, I've just gotten really comfortable. You know, if I come up and then I'm supposed to turn on a dirt road – I'm good with that.
Yeah.
So some of that, maybe I've done that a couple of times. It didn't even bother me. It didn't phase me. I just know. Yep. Here
going
we are.
Down the dirt road. So for season two or season three of Small Town Podcast.
Glad you're so optimistic.
Yes. Is there any one city that you're really dying to get to and talk to folks there? Because I know people. We could maybe make this happen.
You know, it's... No, not a specific city that comes to mind.
Mm-hmm.
I would really enjoy. I've left it for season one, and there's no, and so far in season two, and there's no plans in season two to do anything outside of Georgia. But I would love to explore small towns in other states.
That would be interesting to see how they compare or are the same or different.
Sure. Well, just to explore them.
Yeah.
There's some great small towns.
Just put a break out of the state.
In other places. I didn't, there's no outline of Georgia anywhere on the website or on the podcast logo or anything like that.
That's right. There's small towns all over this country.
Yeah. And I've, driven through them and gone, hey, maybe one day I'll find out who the mayor is here or the fire chief or the, police chief or the mayor pro tem that's been here for 30 years and say, what's life like here?
Yeah.
And there may be different, structures of government because that's all done at the state level and they may have different ways of doing things there.
Even within Georgia, the city government is different from the structure is different from city to city.
So that part may be different, but the stories and the clinging to the values, that would be the same but told in a different way.
Right.
And so more than a specific city, there are some people. Not going to name any names yet. I'll leave it for hopefully a good surprise that's later down the road. There are some people that I've met either through GMA or some other way that I say, I want their story.
Mm-hmm.
And I bet if they're an official in that town is worth sharing.
Yeah.
And so there's your answer. It's the people.
It's the people. Always the people.
It's always the people. So more than a specific geographic location that may have some really cool old buildings and a festival that dates back, six decades.
Warwick's Grits Festival. If we could pair them with the Shrimp Festival.
That's right. That'd be a great festival.
Small Town Podcast is supported by the Southern Mercantile. Visit southernmercantile.com for a blog about small town living and an online store with a selection of carefully curated goods. The Southern Mercantile. Simple living, Southern charm.
Let's do some getting to know you type questions.
I really should have been more prepared for this one, but
you should have known it was coming.
Of course, that's only if yours are the same as the ones I ask on my episodes.
That's true. Favorite foods?
Favorite food? if I can use kind of a category, shellfish. Grew up near Savannah.
Yes.
Usually good steam, food, steam good. Shrimp,
mm-hmm.
some crab legs. If we've got time to dig into it, some blue crab. Yeah, shellfish in general.
A lot of work right there.
It is, but if you've got the time, it's well worth the effort. So
okay. If you had to pick one superpower that you could have, what would it be?
And to clarify, this is not, I can't be a superhero. Like
no, you cannot.
Saying Superman gives you an array.
The whole okay. array of superpowers.
So it's not to be a superhero. It's one specific superpower.
Mm-hmm.
I have always, because, you know, naturally I've considered this
before. I mean, who doesn't?
Who doesn't? And I've always come down to either what I guess you'd have to say are the cellular regenerative powers of Wolverine from X-Men, or just the ability to fly.
Mm.
So I've always kind of brought it down to those two, but never made a.
But if you had to pick, because you know they're going to make you choose when these superpowers come
right,
out.
Right when the lottery when comes the out, and they say you have to pick one. I suppose if I could fly, but did not have the regeneration powers, especially in my neck of the woods. People would try to shoot me down.
There would be a hunting season for you.
Yeah. And if I,
is it open season on Mayor Matt yet?
If I wasn't the Man of Steel or had the powers to regenerate and heal those wounds quickly. So I guess the safer bet between those two would be the
regeneration
powers, even if it meant I couldn't fly. So I'll go with that.
Karaoke. The question you often ask is if you
yeah.
had to sing
yeah.
for the glory and honor of Oscilla, what song is your go-to karaoke song?
You know what's funny? I've never actually done karaoke. I have people tell me, hey,
I feel
let's
like
go,
it's a rite of passage.
Let's go. Maybe so.
You've I obviously guess, not drank enough is what I'm hearing.
maybe that's it. People say it all the time, and I'm like, yeah, okay, let's go. You know, I've never said, no, you're not getting me up on. People make fun of me because I'm known for just breaking out into random songs, like usually just songs
like
on the radio.
Like your life is a musical?
Not quite show tunes, okay. but just like just start singing a song.
Because I think that would be awesome, a small town musical.
Yeah, if it's caught in my head, I will try to, and it's worse if I actually don't know the words because then I'll just kind of
just make it up.
Just kind of say some, you can hear the tune maybe, but I've never, as many times I've asked this, I probably should have tried to figure out what song I would sing. Yeah, I should have. This one should have been. I should have expected this, and I'm already. So I'm gonna do what I've had a couple guests do, and I've allowed it to happen. I'm gonna pass. Let's
You're
come back
pass?
To this one.
Gonna pass and yeah, come back to yeah. this one. What did you want to be when you were a kid? What did you want to be when you grew up?
A lot of things, like many kids, but for the longest time, I actually wanted to be an astronaut. Yeah. Most kids, you know, so when you say a kid, you know, you're thinking like fourth grade, fifth grade. I actually wanted that all the way up into like high school.
What changed the dream?
I was one of those nerds that went to Space Academy.
Oh, yeah.
Over in Huntsville.
Oh, yeah. My brother and sister went to
middle
Space
school.
Academy.
Yeah. Yeah. So had the space. I can't fit into the spacesuit anymore.
What changed the dream?
I don't know. Maybe I got practical because I actually started out in engineering at Georgia Tech in aerospace engineering. So up until that point,
right.
I was still thinking like this, man, love to go into space, work for NASA. I don't know if I could actually go into space, but be in that kind of world. Not my first quarter at Georgia Tech, but my second quarter, I took the intro to aerospace studies and that helped me change my mind.
It wasn't so much that you changed your mind as it was changed for you.
The dean of the school actually decided to teach the intro course.
Wow.
And I said, you know, I might have the ability to push through the higher level math and physics, but I don't think I would enjoy it.
It would be a painful, painful experience.
So I did stay at Georgia Tech, but I did not. People say, oh, okay. Where'd you go to school? Oh, I went to Georgia Tech. Oh, engineer.
Mm-hmm.
And I just have to say, no. No, the engineering part. I mean, I'm somewhat analytical, and I was good in math and science, but not to the level that you really should be.
And you were in the band? Or yeah, you did band?
Yeah. I was a big band nerd, man. Marching band all the way. I was a drum major at Georgia Tech, actually. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, for 2 years. Yeah, had a lot of fun.
Georgia Tech's
got a great marching band.
I want you to know, I went to Troy University. Back in the day, it was Troy State,
yep.
which has an amazing band. And when Troy's football team started playing, you know, bigger schools, mm-hmm. Georgia Tech was the first big school that they played. They lost the game, but everybody agreed. Troy won the Battle of the Bands.
I don't think everybody agreed.
No, it was in the newspaper. It has to be right.
In Troy?
No, in Atlanta.
Oh, well, they hate us anyway, so.
Okay. Any plans to run for a higher office, higher than the mayor?
Absolutely not.
Okay.
I don't even have to say, well, I'm keeping my possibilities open.
Like, there's no possibility.
Because I know the political answer is, right now I'm focused on being the best mayor.
I have to point out that Mayor Matt is now doing the very politically correct thumb
what is that,
point.
That thumb point thing, yeah.
Where you're not pointing a finger because that's aggressive.
Right.
But you're doing the thumb, which is assertive, but still friendly.
Thanks for the play-by-play on that. No, I actually, I didn't have any political ambitions. I really had to get pushed, and the only reason I agreed to run for mayor, and then I did it twice because I had to run for re-election. It was a special election in 2015, had to run for re-election in 2017. I finally was convinced that this was the best way for me to have some kind of positive impact on the community. And absolutely nothing against anybody who is at state level. Mm-hmm. I have two great legislators, one in the House, one in the Senate, that I enjoy working with. We communicate regularly, and they wanted to go to that role and have respect for that and appreciate the work they do. But I just really feel for me, the only way I want to work is right there in the place where the improvements are being made. Right. I will weigh in on bigger policy type of stuff through the Legislative Policy Council at GMA and have enjoyed those conversations. But getting into state policy and government or, you know, anything mm-hmm. beyond that, no, there's just absolutely no interest whatsoever.
Like, I would like to tell you how to do your job better. I don't want to do your job.
Yeah.
So it's easier that way, honestly.
I just have no issue saying that.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Well,
and now that I've said it so firmly and put it on mm-hmm. a recording that
right.
I've been broadcast,
it's official
now people can put it back. So if I ever get out of line and flirt with the idea, they can say, well, you said this. I'm like, yeah, you're right.
You're right.
Not going to do it
now.
Right.
I can't do it now because I said it.
That's right.
It's on the record.
That's right. On the record.
And we come back to the karaoke song.
Oh, you didn't have another one there?
Do you want me to think of another one?
No, I don't.
Okay, I do have one more.
Okay.
If you couldn't live in Osceola, if you had to live anywhere else, where would you be?
You know what? I'll do a political answer to your question. That's what I'm in search of on Small Town Podcast.
This is my second home if I get kicked
out
of it.
That's right. It would definitely be a small town. I enjoy going to places in the mountains. I enjoy going to places at the beach. I enjoy going to places where there's a lake. I would like some place with, I guess, some recreational opportunities.
Yes.
You know, I enjoy being outdoors. But there's just so many places that are so great. I think I'd just rather travel around and visit different
visit
places.
Visit them all. Be the traveler and
yeah,
not the resident.
Yeah. So I know, like I said, I kind of sidestepped your answer by not giving a specific one, but that really is it.
That's
I just
why you're mayor, because
enjoy.
You know how to answer
yeah.
tough questions.
I've learned in my short political career.
So, okay, we're back to karaoke.
Karaoke.
Gotta pick a song. What song would you sing to make Osceola proud?
The best is yet to come.
Uh-huh.
There we go. That's my final answer.
It's your only answer, and it's your final
That's
answer.
That's it. The best is yet to come.
That's awesome.
The Tony Bennett,
the
way,
Tony
of,
Bennett
way of doing it. I try to imitate Tony Bennett because I don't have a good voice on my own. I just try to imitate other people that do and do the best I can. So there we go.
That's a good answer. Well, thank you so much for letting me again hijack your podcast. I'm going to turn the reins back over to you, and I look forward to the rest of the season and next season because I know we're going to keep going forward. You got a lot of cities you still have to cover.
Yeah, this job will never be done.
No.
Yeah. Well, thanks, Amy. Appreciate this. And I'll take the outro from here.
Awesome.
Well, small towners, that'll do it for this episode of Small Town Podcast. I want to thank Amy Henderson, not only for joining me and interviewing me today, but for everything she has done to make Small Town Podcast what it has become. What I thought was going to be an every once in a while podcast project that I did on the side has become so much more because of her seeing the good it can do to promote small towns across the state of Georgia and one day into the rest of the country. And who knows, maybe one day there will be an international episode. From the moment Amy heard about my crazy idea, she has been a constant cheerleader and promoter of this project, and I can never thank her enough. Thank you, Amy. Thanks as always to our season sponsors, the Georgia Municipal Association, Consolidated Pipe,
Koch Industries, and the Southern Mercantile for supporting us as we explore and share great small towns. I'll talk to you soon, and y'all are welcome to come to Osceola anytime.
Small Town Podcast is an Irwinomics production that tells the stories of America's great small towns. We release new episodes every other week, featuring small towns through stories of the people who live and lead there, and sometimes exploring issues that affect small towns everywhere. Our podcast episodes are made possible with editing assistance from Resonant Recordings, who also mixes and masters all of our episodes. You can subscribe to Small Town Podcast on iTunes or wherever you listen to your favorite podcast, and the next episode will download while you sleep. You can also leave us a rating and review, which would help us reach new listeners. We would really appreciate it. Beyond our episodes, you can hang out with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. You can also learn more about us and the towns we visit by stopping by our website, www.smalltownpodcast.com. We love to show you all the small towners out there, some great images from the small towns we visit, and let you know about the festivals and events you can participate in and the places you hear about on our podcast. Thanks for listening, and we hope to see you real soon.
We stand adjourned.